Welcome to this service of worship, coming to you from the community of St Andrew's and St George's West Church in Edinburgh on this Palm Passion Sunday. My name is Rosie McGee, I'm the minister, and you will hear several other voices this morning. Hopefully you will also hear your own voice. Our vocal ensemble comprises Eleanor Cousins, Caitlin McGillivray, Drew Crichton and Andrew Carville. The pianists are Drew Crichton and Eleanor Cousins. Jane Brown reads our scriptures, and leading us in the prayers of the people is Jimmy Campbell with a prayer by Pat McCarroll. We're grateful to Andrew Carville for editing this service of worship and to Alison Bruce, who coordinates our online presence. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. As we travel into this holy week of remembrance and hope, let us be good companions on the journey. As we set off, we join together in singing our first hymn, hymn number 212, Morning Has Broken. With so much broken in our world and in our lives, we take time to claim the gift of this new day, which has also broken over us. God has given us another day for love and compassion. So now, in Christ's Spirit, let us draw near to God in prayer. Let us pray. Holy God, you come to us in Jesus as a poor man riding on a donkey. There will certainly be no parades in the streets today, no sound of hosannas ringing out across the meadows. In fact, it's hard to know what day it is. It is Sunday, isn't it? The days can all blur into one with the absence of events that usually punctuate our calendars. So we come to you thankful that, yes, this is the Sabbath, a day designed to be different. A day when, whatever we are doing or not doing, we lift our eyes more intently to you, our sole purpose in this moment, to worship you together. We thank you that through your Spirit, we can all join equally in this service of worship, that those singing and speaking are the prompters, signposts, liberating our spirits to fly free through love of you, or better said, to fly free through your love of us. Eternal God, may our worship be sincere. Help us to be faithful rather than fickle as this holy week unfolds. Grant us your forgiving love and your strength to try again when we fail you. God of hope, help us to honour you every day, so that we may experience in our everyday living the eternal reign of Jesus in the New Jerusalem. We pray in the name of the one whom we follow, as we share the words he shared with his closest friends. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us in the time of trial, and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. We can still share the peace of Christ. For Jesus says, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled or afraid. The peace of Christ be with you all."
The Old Testament reading is Psalm 131, a song of quiet trust. O Lord, my heart is not lifted up, my eyes are not raised too high. I do not occupy myself with things too great and too marvellous for me. But I have calmed and quieted my soul, like a weaned child with its mother. My soul is like the weaned child that is with me. O Israel, hope in the Lord from this time on and for evermore. The New Testament reading is from the letter of Paul to the Philippians, chapter 2, verses 5 to 11, imitating Christ's humility. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness. And being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore God also highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee should bend, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father.
May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, our strength and our Redeemer. This is Palm Sunday, or Passion Sunday. Palm Sunday focuses on the entry of Jesus into Jerusalem. Passion Sunday emphasizes this day as the entry point to Jesus' suffering. Through the sting of COVID-19, today feels much more passion than palm. These are not times for a parade, however ironic. It feels like the suffering has already caught up with us in so many different ways. Every time I hear the word unprecedented, it seems to introduce some unheard of scale of hurt or harm that this virus is unleashing. Our New Testament reading reminds us that we also dwell in God's precedent, the precedent that God has set of ongoing engagement with humanity, promising never to abandon loving us, going to any depths to seek wholeness and restoration. Through Jesus, God promises to meet us precisely where we are, however painful. This is not a virtual reality. It is God's action in the flesh and blood of the real world, in real time. As Anthony Padovona writes, it is not a love for suffering which Christ reveals, but a love which prevails in suffering. This Holy Week extends an invitation to go both into ourselves and beyond ourselves in the most vulnerable and expansive of ways, as we grapple towards our place in the story of these days and our place in God's story. Ultimately, they are one and the same. This will take our time and our intention. We dare not settle for quick or easy answers to all we're wrestling with and waiting for right now. Waiting for it to be over. Waiting to see loved ones again. Waiting to mark the lives of those who have died. Waiting to get back to where we were, except that wasn't a good place for so many people first time round. The waiting. It's as if the whole world is already observing Holy Saturday. That first Holy Saturday, no one knew what they were waiting for. They just knew that Jesus lay in a tomb and that life could never be the same again. Here, there has already been too much pain for things ever to be the same again. There has already been too much suffering for us not to emerge as changed people with changed structures. We will be changed by this. Yet we can make choices about how we will be changed. Wherever you are right now, you inhabit space that is already made more sacred by your being in worship. We don't take ourselves outside of the world when we worship. We remain fully in it. A world God was born into in the form of Jesus. And that, from a faith perspective, changes everything. This is what Paul is trying to tell us in his letter. A letter written not from a living room or a study, but from a prison cell, from a place of lockdown. Paul's letters were mostly written to communicate with those he knew well. He couldn't meet with them. He couldn't travel to be with them. So he wrote them letters. And what does Paul write from his confinement? A hymn to Christ. He's not writing as a politician or a doctor, or a journalist or a sociologist. Those are all necessary skills, but they are not Paul's gift to give. Paul is writing as a believer. This is a hymn of liberation from whatever binds us, whatever shackles we feel we cannot loosen. Paul's words, well, they speak into days that seem too empty or too full, into rooms that seem too small or too large, too noisy or too quiet. Through this hymn, Paul is joining in with voices who have gone before. And he invites us to join in the song, to sing out our faith like voices heard across Italian balconies. We sing with our most beloved kin and with the great cloud of witnesses that go before us. For when Christians say we're all in this together, we're talking about so much more than a head count. And the focus in Paul's hymn is the whole of reality, beyond what human eye can see or human mind can comprehend, and how it holds together, even and especially when things feel like they are falling apart. Our lives can feel hollowed out at the minute. Paul reminds us that we belong to the Christ who freely chose to empty himself, not in a way that diminished him, but rather helped him to reveal the fullness of who he was. Paul invites us to live in a way that reveals the fullness of who we are, whatever our circumstances, in the hollowing out, in the places where we have to let go, something else is making way. As surely as the crowd parted to allow Jesus to pass through the palms, many people are being reborn at this time, born into a new way of seeing themselves and the world. And we are our own mothers in that process. And what does a mother do for her baby? She is present to the growth of the child and loves her even in her stumbling. There is no exam to be passed. For healthy growth, we need to pay attention and to set our intentions to what is happening within us as much as what is happening around us. This is a time for presence, spiritual presence, most deeply realized through prayer. The news informs us. Prayer transforms us. Through prayer, we deepen all our relationships. We move from knowing about God to knowing God. We move from reading the recipe to being nourished by the feast. We still get to choose how we pray and when we pray. And we are promised that the fruit of prayer will shape us and equip us for service in the world. As people of faith, prayer is our offering to make. It is a distinctive offering that believers can make to the world, alongside all the outpourings of good works that people of all faiths and none are contributing right now. Our experience in and beyond these days will be significantly altered by choosing a prayer-filled response, one that lives out of a place of spiritual depth. And that is our choice to make. God does not force us into conversation or ask us to be anything other than we are when we pray. In speech, in silence, in reading, in journaling, in poetry, in song, we could write a letter. It can all be prayer if that is our intention. That is how we move from saying a prayer to being a prayer in and for the sake of the world. And these days require nothing less than that. As we set our faces towards Jerusalem, Jesus promises to meet us as a living love letter from God. Jesus, the cross-shaped truth and the way to life. Perhaps, as in the words of Padraig O'Tooma, only in the middle of a storm can we find a truth that will steady us. May it be so. Amen.
Ever-present and loving God, we turn to you with prayers for our uncertain and anxious world. As a church family, we seek your strength for this COVID-19 journey, whatever it may hold for each one of us, for all whom we love, and for all whom only you know by name. We pray especially for those who find constant news bulletins overwhelming, those in higher-risk categories, those who are homeless, and all who literally have nowhere to turn. We long for all to trust fully in you and for your light to be a constant guide.
Make me a channel of your peace.
As a church family constrained by space, we turn to you, Lord, remembering all who are vulnerable and unable to leave their homes, all who must isolate in challenging situations and strained relationships, and all who suffer from confinement within four walls. We pray that they will be sustained by the touch of your healing hands.
Make me a channel of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me bring you love.
As a church family restricted by regulation, we turn to you, Lord, praying for all separated by necessity from loved ones, particularly from those nearing death in hospital, those denied a funeral for their loved ones, those struggling to balance the pressures of home working with homeschooling, and those who may lose their livelihood. May we remember that each statistic represents a life, and may each person feel the comfort and depth of your unending love.
Make me a channel of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me bring your love. Where there is injury, your Lord, and Lord. And where there's doubt, to place in you.
Lord, we know the richness of the blessings you have bestowed upon us. Each new day we witness wonderful examples of people called to serve the needs of others, many in imaginative and creative ways. We offer our gratitude to NHS staff and all those in frontline roles, working tirelessly to provide care and maintain key services. All in positions of power, striving to make decisions and legislation. And all behind-the-scenes staff, who never make the headlines. We pray for their continued safety and stamina. Hear these our prayers, Lord, as we place our hope in you now and always, firm in the knowledge of your ongoing promise of eternal life and love.
Jesus says, "If any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their crosses daily and follow me." We follow the one whose spread out arms embrace the whole world. And as we journey onward into this most holy of weeks, hear these words of blessing. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all, this day and evermore. Amen.